over, but this Koshcast is just beginning. This week, we start with the champions Chelsea as Michy bats away the critics to score the league-winning goal, and Cesc follows in Theresa May's footsteps by promising a blue assault on Europe. Elsewhere, the rain at the Lane falls mainly on Teddy Sheringham during Tottenham's post-match celebrations. Rooney, Sturridge and Kyle Norton score goals, prompting fears of an impending judgment day. And speaking of which, Marco Silva's men are finally out of purgatory, but does Hull await for him next season? Across Europe, there's a ton of Serie A to cover, with Juve's players and Inter's fans all out to lunch, and some of the week's best goals in La Liga, as Nacho requires no dip to score a free kick for Real Madrid. All this, a Toronto FC recap, and all your regular features. Here we go. Hello and welcome to the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com and at under_thekosh on Twitter. My name is Alex, and with me today, Roche Rana.
Yes, hello Alex. Hello. And hello to all our listeners.
Absolutely. Any other message for them? Or?
Well, I hope you're all out and about enjoying this fantastic spring day.
Okay. Alright, I hope it's spring where you are.
Yeah, I do.
Marnit, how are you?
I'm good. It's been a high pollen count this weekend, so I'm sniffling a bit.
Who counts the pollen? Like, where do we get that from?
It's near the airport.
What?
I'm serious. All the weather recording happens at the airport because it's like open field. It's
Interesting. I never knew that.
Yeah. It's far from the plane.
Like it's not like right underneath your plane.
Okay. It's just the people that are waving the stuff around. They're also counting the pollen.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. We've had a couple questions on Facebook and Twitter this week. One of them is about we look like a boy band in some of our pictures from Europe.
Yes,
and apparently,
in all of them.
Well, yeah, that's true. But Steve McGovern, friend of the pod, thinks that Roche looks like the troublemaker, the tough guy.
Well, he used to play something, the bass or something.
I did, but that's not a troublemaker position.
Oh, isn't it? I thought it was.
Honestly, I just think it's the beard.
Yeah,
it must be.
And,
but I am flattered that he thinks I'm the troublemaker.
Yeah.
I'm the mischievous one, yes. But we're all mischievous in our own way, to be fair.
Alex, you're clearly the drummer because you actually were in a band and play the drums.
Well, that is true.
Excuse me, I was also in a band.
Yeah, I just said you played the bass.
This is not the same band.
No, different band.
Yeah. I don't know, which one would you be?
Who else is in bands? Like, there's a singer?
There's a mysterious one.
I think Mohamed would play the tambourine or the triangle.
Yeah, I actually played the triangle in school.
No, but I'm saying, like, in terms of the character, you'd be the mysterious one, because you're very secretive.
No, I'd be the guy that, like, doesn't want to spend too much time with the fans. Like, can we go home?
Oh, the really cool one.
Yeah.
Actually, if you make your football position, like the position you play on the field, equivalent to what you're doing in the band,
right?
I would still be the bass player.
Yeah.
Because you're a left back?
Base of the triangle.
Mohamed is the number 10 on the field, so what does that make him on the stage?
I'm creative. I write
the lyrics.
The
lead guitarist. I'd be the drummer, is like the DM, keeps things ticking along.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Keep the rhythm going.
I'm not sure what Bernie is.
Bernie is the post.
The post or someone on the bench.
All right. Yeah. Although in the band, he's the one that can sing. You need one of them.
True.
Anyway, I think we've dealt with this for long enough, no?
Yeah, I think we've had another question, which was...
True.
You two are on a softball team. Very very North American of you.
We're really getting into the hobbies today.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, there's football season, you could have played that, but no, softball.
I'd love to do both sports. It's a different sort of release. Like, well, with softball, your own teammate is pitching to you, so it's just fun to really whack the crap out of that ball.
Right. Roche just likes hitting things.
And
he's very good at them, to be fair.
Yeah. And every time I try to hit someone on the soccer field, I get a yellow card. So it's a different kind of release.
That's a good reason. Yeah. Alex, why do you play softball?
Well, I play football as well. So,
nah.
You know,
I mean,
come at me, bro.
All right, well, let's talk about football then.
Yes.
The Premier League had a lot of conclusions this weekend. All the relegation conclusions, the champion conclusion. Let's start at the top.
Yes.
All right, so Chelsea went to the Hawthorns.
Say that again.
Yeah, no, I love saying it like that. And it just feels like, you know, it's like it feels like they're Mount Doom.
The Hawthorns?
Yeah.
Sure.
Really?
Yeah, because they're all like ugly and big.
That is true.
Anyways. Wow. So... Chelsea needed a win to finally put Spurs out of their misery. And they got that win, which was... Alex, you enjoyed how they got that win.
Yeah, just because it was Michy Batshuayi, who's, you know, done very little... Not for any fault of his own, he just hasn't been played, so he hasn't had the chance.
He's done a lot online.
That's true. His Twitter account is one of the best. But his goals to game ratio at this point must be incredible, because whenever he plays, he scores.
Yeah, no, that's true. So Chelsea champions. I mean, before we move on to the whole big picture stuff, sorry, yes. There was one interesting point, which is when Conte needed a goal in that game at 0-0, he took off both Pedro and Hazard, who are arguably, after Costa, their only creative players, literally their only creative players on the field, and brought on Michi and someone else.
And Cesc.
And I mean, that's quite a move, especially with the Hazard.
Good tactical sub, yeah. Got him the goals, got him the result. 90 points after 37 games.
That's quite a good tally, to be fair. I mean, I know they hadn't had anything else to focus on but the league, but still, they've done well.
Oh, and they've focused on it, and they have accomplished the league title. They had to still play those games, and they got 90 points in with a game in hand, which is... Yeah. I don't think any other team has reached this points tally since Chelsea have, when they got 95 and 91 points,
with
respectively.
Mourinho. With Mourinho,
No, that's true. And there's been a lot of talk about Conte and his motivational methods and stuff. And there was a good thing in The Guardian today with an interview with, I think it was Simone Pepe, who played for Juve under Conte. And he basically went on and on about how incredible a motivator Conte is, to the extent that he said when they came out of like team meetings, they would feel like, and I quote, "I'm going to eat my opponent."
Yeah. A lot of Chelsea squad also described him as such, like, a guy that just gives you this kind of wind in your sails. He lets you go out there and you're so charged up. Now, I think the main difference between him and someone like Mourinho is that it's not like short term. It's not going to burn you out. Mourinho did that two whatever seasons ago when Chelsea won the league.
Yeah.
But it burned the players out. Like, it was too much, and then they kind of were on that high, and then they eventually lost it all the following season. I think Conte will be able to continue that momentum.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he won so many leagues with Juventus in Italy, so his methods are proven. He came to England straight away, first season he won. It'd be interesting to see how he continues into next season, and if he does burn his players out. And I was even saying in midweek, I was saying, well, I wish I had Conte to motivate me to sometimes get up really early in the morning.
That would be good. Yeah. Just shouting at you. Get up!
Yeah.
No, it's true. But the other thing about Chelsea, and we might as well talk about the Chelsea-Watford game that happened today, just group the Chelsea games together.
Yeah.
They didn't need to win this game. He rested some players because they got the FA Cup final in a couple of weeks. Ake played, Shalaba started, Kennedy, a left wing back who was completely useless and had a terrible haircut.
Yes.
But they still found a way to win, and that way to win, and we should talk about him, again involved Cesc Fabregas.
Yeah, no, Fabregas is undeniably world class, even at this age. He still has so much to offer. Chelsea are really lucky to have him. Sometimes he started the season as an off the bench option. The last few months he started all the games, and you know, when given a chance, he really claimed a spot in Kante's absence due to injury. And he's just pure world class. He knows a few of his deliveries in the last few games for assists to Costa across the field, long balls, have been so much fun to see. And, you know, you can't take that away from him.
I have to say, indeed, Chelsea are very lucky to have him as an option on the bench, because the season is not the same when it starts and it finishes. As the season goes on, you need, you know, fluctuations here, changes there.
Yep.
You need personnel that can bring you something different. And Fabregas is high quality for what he brings, which is different. And you can see that in the second half of the season for Chelsea.
I completely agree with you. I was just thinking the same thing, which is at the start of the season when Conte and Matic played, and people weren't sure, you know, how good this Chelsea side is. Once they realized how good they were, teams sat much deeper, and they kind of defended when Chelsea came, right, to their stadium or other, you know, playing at home in Stamford Bridge. That's when Fabregas started to become more useful. Well, all right, I don't need Conte and Matic to both defend, because now teams give us this respect and they sit deep, and now I can use a Fabregas to just play those beautiful assists to, you know, Costa, Hazard.
And I think Conte also stumbled, well, he didn't stumble across it, it was actually very deliberate, but if you look at the way that Spain have used Cesc over the years, Conte has done a similar thing. Like, Spain, Del Bosque, and I think Aragonés before that, worked out that Cesc can be a very useful impact sub.
Yes.
Because of his different level of thinking and the way he finds angles and passes. And Conte has done that this season, bringing him on with 20 minutes to go or something. And it's not, you know how often a very quick sub will come on?
Yeah.
And they say, right, he's going to stretch the game because the opposition are tired. If they're mentally tired, Fabregas will kill you.
No, I agree. Yeah. One more point about Conte as well is that, Richelle, you touched upon this. This is his fourth domestic title in a row. He's won three in a row with Juventus. Now he's won his first one with Chelsea. And let's not forget that, I know, Alex, you mentioned this, but the two competitions they're in, he's won one, the league, and now he's in the final of the FA Cup. So he can only do what he's given. Yes. He can't go win the Champions League when he's not in it. Right. So at this point, if he wins both domestic competitions that he's in, basically 100% record,
then he will get sacked halfway through next season, like Ancelotti.
It actually be very interesting to see how he does with the Champions League in their fixture schedule next season.
Yeah.
Because you can make all the arguments you want. Teams have used that as an excuse this season, saying, "Oh, I got too many games to play. All my players are injured." You know,
Liverpool have no games to play.
I don't know what excuse they have, but Chelsea have had the fortune of having less games to play and just being able to focus on whatever they've had, and they've had good spaces between their games.
Also, Alex, you mentioned they had barely any injuries this season.
Chelsea's injury record, not just this season, frankly, but for a long time since Mourinho, has been ridiculous. Like, they just don't suffer. I think Kante was out for a couple of weeks. Costa got suspended for a little bit. But honestly, can you think of another major injury? They've had players to come in for a game, maybe two at the most. But that's really it. And the consistency of the lineup he's put out has been unreal. But what I wanted, Roche, I think it was a good point about next season in the Champions League. What do you think they need to be able to compete on those two fronts?
It's a very good question.
Their squad isn't that shallow. Like, it's still, when you look at their bench, let's assume whoever's starting, you get Willian, you got Fabregas on the bench. You have Zuma possibly on the bench. Those three, just the Fabregas, Willian, and Zuma, are very good. They will start for a lot of other teams. So you add a few here and there, maybe a wing back, because they play with that system. But Costa might leave.
Probably.
So I think they really need to make sure that they can replace his goals, because they don't have a lot of goal scorers on the team. Their defense chips in, and we saw that, Cahill... David Luiz and
Terry.
Both
ends.
And Terry. Yeah. So they chip in, and you can't guarantee that will happen again next season, but you need that goal scorer. And if they lose Costa, they have to go out for someone big.
I think it's Morata. I've said it before. Yeah, sure. I think that's who it is.
I like the idea of Morata, but I'm thinking about Chelsea playing that continental game in Europe in the group stages and the knockouts in the Champions League, if they get that far. But I'm just thinking, is Kante going to be performing like he has
That's a good point.
With those Champions League games as well?
Twice a week.
Energizer Bunny twice a week.
I
don't think he's ever played in the Champions League.
No, he wouldn't have. And I think it would be foolish to rule it out. Like, if anyone can do it, it's probably him. But it is a good question.
That would be an Energizer test for for Kante and Conte, because that might strain Kante.
Agreed. One more point before we leave this Chelsea talk. Deserves champions for sure. Let's not forget the turning point for them as well this season. They were slightly shaky when City looked really good.
Mahan is about to bring Arsenal into
It's actually... it just happened to be Arsenal, but I was going to give Conte a lot of credit, because City started the season on fire with that 8 or 9 win in a row run. Everybody was very happy with them. Chelsea looked slightly shaky. Then they lost to Arsenal, which doesn't happen. Arsenal doesn't beat the big teams that way.
3-0 to Arsenal.
Exactly. Kante was slightly exposed that game. Everything just didn't go for them. And Kante, credit to him, because he is a big reason to why the Chelsea have won the league. He changed it up, and since then, there's no looking back. And, he has to get a lot of credit for that.
He does. And I also like the way that he dug out Mourinho about it, because he was, he's been talking a lot. He's had to do a lot of interviews. And the other day, he was just like, "It's incredible what this team has done after finishing 10th last year. To have such a terrible season last time, to have such a great one this time is brilliant," etc. And obviously Mourinho is a knob, and so that was fun.
Last point, Terry, final game of the bridge today.
Scored a goal.
Scored a goal, assisted for Watford.
Yeah, that was fun.
It's about time we saw him get the hell out of the game. Out with the old, in with the new.
Well, he actually said, because he's considering retiring, and he said, "I never wanted to be that kind of player, the kind that hangs about and who people can't wait to get rid of." I would suggest he's been that for about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it's easy now to go all captain, legend, leader, but, anyways.
The best moment of Terry's career was, without any doubt, when he was kicked in the face by Diaby in the League Cup final.
He did really well there.
He did. He was completely knocked out.
These views do not represent... No, they kind of do. All right, let's move on. Tottenham 2, Manchester United 0. The final game at White Hart Lane. Oh, yeah, one.
Oh, yeah,
sorry,
one,
I've got it down wrong.
Okay.
It was a Rooney goal. I couldn't believe it.
It was a fluke.
Well,
You can disregard it. It was more of an own goal by Vertonghen.
It was also actually true. It was a good run as well. I thought he did well to get in front of the defender.
He did well to be breathing.
Yeah, to be. Yeah.
I was surprised by his movement, but his finish was very Rooney-esque because it was off the defender.
Oh, right. Yeah. True.
But so Tottenham undefeated at home, 14 wins in a row. But what I wanted to ask you, Roche, is United just didn't look like they cared about this at all.
No, and I think we were expected to go into the game doing exactly that, not care. Because now, the only thing that they can focus on is the Europa League final.
But do you think, I mean, Mourinho has come out and said, yeah, he's basically said we didn't care about this. He said before the game we're not going to care about it. He said afterwards we don't care about it. Some people have said, oh, he's just being honest. But should he be saying this kind of thing?
No, not at all. I don't think it's in the Manchester United DNA
to
be saying something like that. I don't think a club of this size, with the ambition that they have, should be coming out...
With the money they spend.
Should be coming out defending like they have in the last couple of weeks. I think, losing games like they have. Very, very shabby defending.
I think it's disgraceful for a United manager to come out and say that, and I quote, the Premier League are a set of games that right now we just don't want to play.
Yeah.
Like, I've always said, I am an Arsenal fan, but I've always said United to me are the club in England. They are the top club in England, one of the top in the world, if not top three. They represent England in the, they've always have represented England in the European competitions. Whenever you talk about the Premier League and how strong the Premier League is, it used to be always connected to how strong Manchester United are. And I give them that.
Yeah.
That is their role. And it's a shame to see, and it makes it worse that it's Mourinho, that it comes out and he says that the Premier League is now somehow a burden on him. When he's going to finish the season in sixth.
It's kind of like when you find out that the US has, like, third world levels of, literacy. It's kind of like
that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I think you have touched on some good points. I think that when, Sir Alex Ferguson was representing United, there was that grand aura about United, that feeling. This is Old Trafford, this is Sir Alex Ferguson, there's a lot of, we represent England and all this representation and all this great stuff.
And it was lost the minute David Moyes walked into the door.
Yeah, although not known at the time, to be fair to Moyes, in hindsight 2020. But it just raises the question of Mourinho's longevity. I think that in his second season with United, we'll see a different, a different set of results. Probably better than the first season, to be fair.
Yeah, because I don't think $250 million was enough. He has to hit the $500 million mark.
I don't think 14 draws is realistic either.
Yeah. To be fair, I mean, I know it's a lot of ifs and buts, but you look at their draws and you think, three, four wins against like very easy opposition instead of these draws. Yeah. And he's comfortably sitting in the top four.
Well, 14 draws. You can take at least 10 of those draws.
Let's talk about Spurs for a little bit as well. It was their day. They have come second now twice in a row, which is...
They didn't come second last
sorry,
year.
sorry.
We keep forgetting this.
Yeah. But they were so close. They've done really well. People always ask, have Spurs overachieved? And it's easy to say no, because now that you look at it, it feels realistic. But I feel like they have. I feel if they had come fifth, or let's say fourth or fifth these two seasons, no one would have said they'd underachieved.
No, so that is exactly where most pundits, not that we give them any credit whatsoever anyway, but that is where they were predicted to go, fourth, fifth, sixth.
So I think they've overachieved.
Yeah. Well, that would be very like Tottenham prediction from like 10 years ago under Harry Redknapp, for example.
Right.
But I think that this Pochettino side has grown together. They have actually grown as a team. Finished second twice in a row. Like, that's not by fluke. Right. One time would be fluke, like Leicester last season winning the league. But twice in a row,
it's
this team
has been
a
project with Pochettino. He's clearly onto something here. And, the idea is that can they hold on to all these players now? Can they hold on to Pochettino himself? Yeah. It would be interesting to see. But on the day, it was White Hart Lane's final game.
Yeah.
They're moving 3 feet away to their new stadium.
Emotional scenes.
Very emotional.
Half
the crowd was into it.
Half of the stadium is still sitting in the same position in the new stand. I thought it was a much bigger... I don't get it. Alex, maybe you know like why it's such a huge deal. Like
it's not about the physical distance. This is one of the most historical grounds in
English
football.
But it's the same
English
ground.
Football.
It's the same ground. You're just upgrading the stadium to more seats. Like, nothing's
changing. No, but the stadium itself is going. It's being demolished. It's not as if they're using the same stadium and adding to it. Like, the stadium, with all its history, is being demolished.
Three quarters of it is in the same location.
Location isn't the point, Mohamed.
So it's kind of like Highbury to Arsenal.
Yeah, but you physically moved completely away from it.
Only like 10 minutes down the road. It just the physical location is not the point.
So it's the feeling of history. This is White Hart Lane, Or think about it, if you moved out of your house and you moved into the house next door, you're still moving out of the house that you grew up in. You know what I mean?
It's the history, it's the sentiment, it's everything involved in the house, right?
But why to be fair, there is a lot of sentiment. I mean, Arsenal have won the season, the league twice there. Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of good memories at White Hart Lane.
Oh, and to part ways with White Hart Lane, they have finally finished above Arsenal.
Oh, yes, yeah! I mean, to be fair, though, they've went unbeaten all season at home. Yeah. They've finally finished above Arsenal, which is, you know, a trophy. And
I think they beat all the big clubs at home. They beat City.
They beat everyone at home. Yeah,
they beat
everyone
at home.
Chelsea even. Yeah.
Chelsea, Arsenal, United, Liverpool.
But just like points from the game, from the Spurs side, I thought Eriksen, who has been unbelievable in the second half of the season, he was great again from regular play, but his set-piece delivery was unreal. United couldn't deal with it.
He's had a great season.
Yeah. And it's actually very shocking to see that, you know, when someone puts in a good cross, you're wondering, well, why can't more people put in good crosses?
Mm. But
Eriksen's that kind of player. He comes around, he puts in a good ball, and people are scoring. Well, Kane hit the bar off a header.
Yeah.
And he's creating these chances, like, week in, week out.
Kane finally scored against United, because that was one thing that he's never had scored against
really?
United. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on. One more game before the quiz.
Yep.
West Ham 0, Liverpool 4.
West Ham are really shit.
I mean, yeah, very, especially at home. I mean, they did so well against Spurs the week before.
Yeah.
Arsenal fans were hoping they would do something against Liverpool for that top four competition. Liverpool just... I mean, Coutinho played a marvelous game. He just decided to step up.
And Liverpool could have had two more in this game. They had two efforts off the crossbar. I think one was Wijnaldum.
Yeah.
And then the other, which actually ended up into being a goal for Coutinho.
Right.
And then one was a header from Matip. So,
oh, that one, I don't know how that didn't go in.
But yeah, Coutinho, man of the match. What a through ball for Sturridge. Great finish by Sturridge.
Sturridge can finish. He just shouldn't be involved in the build-up. Like, just let him finish and not involved in the build-up, you'll be fine.
I think Sturridge is a wonderful player. I wish we really knew what the problem was or what's going on with him. But when he plays and when he's fit, I think there aren't many better strikers in the league. There genuinely aren't, in terms of talent and ability.
So Liverpool, pretty much all they need now is to beat Middlesbrough at home next week.
Yeah. Which is like a dead certainty.
Yeah, Middlesbrough already down. And they'll make top four, which is, to be fair, what was expected from Klopp this season. It wasn't expected to win the league or anything like that.
Well, the way they started the season, they were like the most hardworking team that ran the most. They created all these chances. And then they kind of dropped off a little bit. But they've come and finished the last 10 games pretty strong.
Well, Klopp said, the first thing the boys said in the dressing room after the game, and I didn't have to tell them, was one more game. Remember what happened last time they did that? So let's just hope for Liverpool's sake that they don't slip up. But last thing about Liverpool I just wanted to mention is it's come out today that they are willing to sell Mamadou Sakho in the summer, but their price tag is 30 million.
30?
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. It was a bit like Benteke. It's like, if you value him at 30 million...
He should play.
Like, none of your other... Who else are you going to sell for 30 million? Yeah. Lovren?
That's true. Rumors of Coutinho to Barcelona?
Nah.
I don't know, man.
For who?
What do you mean, for who?
Like, where's for Andre Gomes.
Sure. No. Iniesta's getting old. There's
perhaps.
There's a few options. Anyways.
I don't know.
I think that's pretty much it for now. We'll do the quiz. And then get back to more Premier League.
Okay.
Speaking of Liverpool, this quiz is called Quistanbul. Not bad.
Quistanbul is Constantinople.
Is that a song? Is that a famous song?
Yeah.
Alright. As usual, the quiz is brought to you by Open Sports, which is an app you can download where you download apps, iOS, Android, all that good stuff. And it allows you to find pick up sports in your city. It's got a lot of different sports, obviously football on there. Quite useful.
Darts, yeah.
Rugby.
I'm actually not sure about darts. Definitely rugby.
I mean, darts, you just need to Google pubs.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Do it.
Here we go. Riche, let's remind people. What's your buzzer?
That was easy.
And Alex. Nice.
Jingle
all right, here
bells.
We go.
Jingle bell.
Got four questions this week. Question number one. Who scored for Milan in their loss to Liverpool in the 2005 Champions League final? Alex.
Hernan Crespo, Shevchenko, and...
Maldini.
Okay, so some of that is correct. Anyone wants to try again?
Maldini.
Yep.
Pirlo?
Nope. I didn't say the others were wrong.
I know. Crespo is right. Maldini is right.
That's it. Crespo twice, Maldini once.
There's no Shevchenko?
Nope. Okay. Shevchenko missed that amazing chance against Dudek in the end. Yeah. All right, question number two. Which of these teams has more Ligue 1 titles? Lyon, Marseille, PSG, Monaco. Alex.
Monaco.
Nope.
PSG.
Nope. Okay, the answer is Marseille.
Thanks, man.
Actually, that is what I was going to say.
Yeah, sure. The most, just for the listeners, the most is Saint-Étienne with 10.
Wow.
Marseille with 9. Lyon and Monaco tied at 7. And PSG at 6.
Those are low numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
There are some years in which no one wins. So.
Yeah, no one wins. Question number 3.
The French prize.
In which city does Schalke play their home games?
Who?
Schalke.
That was easy.
Well, it's the Ruhr Derby, so it's Dortmund.
No. Any idea? It's like, you'll know it the minute I say
it. Düsseldorf.
No.
Go on.
Gelsenkirchen.
Gelsenkirchen.
All right. Last question. Ready for this?
It always reminds me of Welsh incursion.
Yeah.
It's good. Very good.
Who is the official sponsor of Serie A?
Oh.
Alex.
Silvio Berlusconi.
No.
That's extra credit.
Think of the old Juve shirts. They used to have them on the front. 3 letters. All caps.
You're killing me.
All caps.
3 letters?
Yeah. Like,
all I can think of is Pirelli. That's all I can think
no,
of.
No, but it's like 3 letters with Italian colors in the background. It's a telecommunication company.
Not Jeep. Not all right, Fiat. Well, no.
You're not going to get it.
It's 3 letters.
Roche, this is not good radio.
The answer is TIM. T-I-M. Telecom Italia. Remember the Italian background flag with T-I-M?
The only TIM I know is Tim Hortons.
People's champion Mark Hughes 1, Arsenal 4. Discuss.
Which people is he the champion of?
No one.
Complete mongrels. All of those people.
Wow.
The ogre.
Yes. Alright, if no one wants to start, I will. Bellerin, Ramsey, both with assists. Neither have done anything for a long, long time. Arsenal winning a game 4-1. I mean, it's very nice.
Arsenal rediscovered their mojo entirely in this game, ever since beating Manchester United, obviously. But Alexis Sanchez with a nice little through ball for Ozil.
Oh, what a goal. What a goal.
And so our third was relatively quiet this weekend as the games went on. And all of a sudden, Mohamed just came on and said,
sprung into life.
What dot? A dot. Goal dot.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Because, one, Ozil actually finished it as opposed to passing across the goal to Bellerin.
Or
which
missing
I thought 100,
entirely.
Or missing. And, oh man, Sanchez waited. He waited for the perfect moment. Ozil's first touch was sumptuous. The finish was fantastic.
Yeah.
Ozil has 10 goals now in the season. 24 contributions in total. I don't know what more you want from him. Just put better players around him. He's fine. So he's not the problem.
I mean, I think we do know what people want.
Sure. But I think he's fine. He's doing just fine. Alexis, again, will he leave? Maybe.
Probably.
A lot of rumors of Bayern Munich. And I find it hard to see Alexis staying without Champions League. He's in the best form of his life. It's the best domestic a season he's ever had.
He's 28, 29. Like.
Yeah, like.
And you know what? I was actually watching some retro players recently on YouTube. I was watching Roberto Baggio. And more I watched Roberto Baggio, the more and more I realized I was watching Alexis Sanchez. I don't know if anyone else feels the same.
Sure, maybe. I mean, they're both small. They're both kind of like energetic.
Yeah.
Good finishers.
They both have one bit of hair that sticks out annoyingly.
Yeah. Speaking of Sanchez, he did get injured in this game. He asked to be subbed, which
but
you've never seen before.
He did score as he was injured.
And then Arsene Wenger decided, nah.
Well, it was quite interesting because Stoke scored with Crouch's handball.
Oh, yeah. That
guy.
Was interesting.
The best hand of God since Diego.
Of Crouch.
And because
hand
in English, Crouch. It was only controversial as opposed to those, you know, foreigners ruining the game.
It was quite incredible, actually. I was watching this and there were replays upon replays of him handballing it into the goal, and the commentators are still going, is it? Well, I don't know. It was like, it's a bloody handball.
It was.
That was the co-commentator. The main commentator went, all the panel of dubious goals already came together, like, instantly and said, yes, it's a handball. And the co-commentator still insisted on pushing his agenda.
Yeah, he really did.
How?
And this is why I absolutely hate commentators.
Right.
You do.
I can't stand it. They're just mongrels. And you know what? What's even worse? I'm very happy that Stoke lost in this game because Stoke actually was the highest percentage of Brexit voters by a fan across the EPL.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know that.
All the Brexit voters celebrated.
Well, they're not in Europe anyway, so it makes no difference to them.
The other thing is also, I felt bad for the Stoke fans because they didn't get to boo Ramsey all game since he didn't start. You know, for that one time, he managed to get his leg broken.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what he was thinking.
Yeah.
And then they booed him, like, only for 10 minutes at the end, which, you know, I felt bad for them.
It's not enough time, really. It's not. I mean, that's what they would have been going there for.
Yes.
So,
oh,
yeah.
Also, very ironically, all game before, like, it started to get, you know, 4-1 to Arsenal, they were chanting, Arsene Wenger, we want you to stay. Ironically, most of them didn't stay till the end of the game.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, why would you, really? I do feel a bit sorry for Stoke fans, like the ones that didn't vote for Brexit,
yeah.
just because they're stuck with Mark Hughes.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are getting quite restless about it because he's rubbish and not taking them anywhere. But the board apparently have come out and backed him and said, you know, he's the person that we want in this job.
But that's exactly when people get sacked.
Yeah,
but it wasn't like a vote of confidence. It was more like, this is our guy kind of thing.
Also, look, as a club, they're fine. They're comfortable in mid-table. They're not in any danger of relegation. But they do have some punchable faces, like Arnautovic.
Shaqiri.
And Shaqiri. Like, they're all so annoyingly punchable.
Yes. No, agreed.
Yeah.
But Hughes, after the game, said, amongst other banal things, we need to ask more questions. So I have a question.
Yeah.
Are Stoke the most pointless team in the Premiership, or is that
West Brom? West Brom for me, because the minute they hit that 40 mark, they just went.
It's those Shire teams.
Yeah.
The teams from the Shires of England.
Right.
West Brom,
right.
Stoke, Watford.
Yeah, from Stokeshire.
What else?
Watfordshire.
What else?
Yeah.
What other stupid teams do you
actually,
have?
Surprisingly,
Bournemouth.
Wow.
We've talked about Stoke a lot in a 4-1 win of Arsenal, which is
that's
funny.
True. All right,
let's talk about Arsenal a little bit.
Main question for Arsenal. Are they going to make the top four?
No.
It's mathematically possible still.
Yeah, but they're not going to make it. They woke up way too little too late. They've looked better recently with their newly found formation. Arsene Wenger woke up from a nap and decided to play three at the back. Holding, to be fair, has been fantastic. He's looked an unbelievable value for money in terms of 2.5 million. He's looked so solid, so composed. I'm enjoying watching him.
I agree. And I thought Wenger made a decent point a few weeks ago when Arsenal beat City in the FA Cup. And people were talking about John Stones' performance. And he said, why aren't you speaking about Rob Holding? He's English. You should be excited about him. Sorry he didn't cost 50 million, etc.
Well,
I thought that was quite a good point. But this week, Wenger said something that was on the opposite end of the spectrum, which I can't remember now that I brought it up. So, Roche, what were you going to say?
About what?
I don't know. You opened your mouth to speak.
You put him on the spot. He wasn't ready.
Yes.
I was going to say something.
Arsenal top four for the first time in God knows how long are not going to make it. Something like that?
No, actually.
Okay.
I've remembered it.
All
right.
What is it?
Arsene said that he first thought about employing the back three in November.
Oh.
But he said, at the time, we didn't have the personnel to do it, right? And at this point of the quote, I'm thinking, but Arsenal didn't buy anyone in January, so what are you on about?
Then
he said, for example, Rob Holding didn't have enough experience. Now, here's the thing. Rob Holding didn't play between then and when he was moved into this back. So what's he on about?
Arsene Wenger has claimed he was going to sign Messi as a fetus. He will claim anything he wants. Okay?
So let's not take anything that anyone is saying to the media at face value. Because you know it's all just kind of smoke and mirrors, evading questions, saying this and this at this time, saying that at that time.
Right.
It's all bullshit.
But he's going to stay Arsene Wenger for sure.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Unfortunately for Arsenal fans.
I mean, unless Arsenal somehow get thumped like 4-0 in the cup final.
Oh, that's totally possible.
But
it might
turn the tide again back to the negative. Because it's been positive for way too long, like 2 weeks now. And
yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. I've kind of got used to the negative Arsenal. Now it's been positive for 2 weeks. It's not sitting well with me.
How many Wenger out, Wenger in flybys are we going to see at the FA Cup final?
We saw another one at Stoke.
Out means out.
Yeah, out means out.
I swear, there's like protests going on in like politics in like Idaho, and there's like Wenger out banners.
Yeah.
Iceland has one.
Someone on the radio was talking about this, and they were like, these people that complain about the ticket prices, yet they found the money for a plane. I'm like, that's completely missing the point entirely.
Anyways,
not how that works.
Let's move on. Arsenal will not make top four, so it'll be interesting. Thursday night football next. I don't know how I'm going to feel about that.
Against Vladimir Goretzk.
Yeah.
Of Minsk or something.
I'm just sad to be missing out on the possibility of getting Allegri as a manager.
You know what?
That's
like,
all.
I think I still do need a break from the Champions League because they've been hammered the last like 7 seasons.
It's basically a 16-year abusive relationship.
I don't want to go down the Liverpool route, which is like you slip and then you keep slipping for like 5 years. You know,
they're in the top four this year.
No, that's what I'm saying. But it's been like 7 years or whatever since they've been useful.
I don't disagree, but really, are Arsenal fans any happier than Liverpool fans? No.
No.
So nobody's really happy.
No. That's the thing about football.
So yeah. No one is happy.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. City beat Leicester 2-1. They really needed this win to kind of mathematically all but ensure that they will make top four. They got it. Silva with a brilliant goal.
Obviously.
But the best goal definitely went to Okazaki this game.
What a hit.
Yeah.
Unbelievable technique.
Yeah. My favorite subject, Aguero got dropped the minute Jesus was...
Oh, that's it? We're done with Okazaki? Come on.
I'm just saying.
This is the goal of the season contender.
So, is it?
Yes.
This weekend was full of amazing goals all across the board. Every single game had amazing goals.
We didn't put Richey in slow-mo there. That was just him.
Yeah,
Okazaki definitely up there this week.
Yeah.
That's a big admission.
Now moving on
back
to
Aguero. Please. Yeah. Because I did say this at the beginning of the season. I said Aguero is not the type that Pep wants. He doesn't run around enough. He doesn't get involved in the play enough. Pep doesn't want just a guy who will finish. Jesus gives him that. He runs around. His sprints, his stats are much better than Aguero. And you know what? The minute he's back from injury, Aguero's back on the bench.
Now, here's a question.
I agree. I like it.
I have a question for you. If Morata doesn't go to Chelsea and Costa does leave, could Aguero go to Chelsea?
I mean, I don't think Aguero will have an issue. I just don't know if City would sell to Chelsea.
I mean, they'd be stupid to.
But...
Because Aguero, regardless of his perceived flaws, will still get 25, 30 goals a season. So, you sell him to Chelsea, you're just doing yourself in.
I mean, Arsene Wenger did it on Percy.
Yeah, but that's different.
that was only 24 million.
True. Anyways, so City pretty much, confirmed their place in the top four at this point. Pep, quick summary of his season. I mean, slightly disappointing, but you know what? It is his first season. We did say, to be fair, at the beginning of the season, Pep will not do miracles. Like, they have an aging squad.
Yes.
City are not as good as people think they are on paper.
The squad has been poorly put together, to be honest, which is not, I don't think, is on Pep's shoulders. But of the aging squad, Zabaleta has said he'll be leaving at the end of the season, pretty predictable. But when you're talking about a summary of the season, Pep actually came out and said, if I'd have been at Barcelona or Bayern and had this season, I'd have been sacked.
Yes.
And the quote is actually amazing. Let me find it. Someone fill in while I do that.
I was going to say about, the Man City squad. Just the fact that Yaya Toure managed to find his way back into everyone's, like, warm, loving arms.
He got a new contract, apparently, offered to him.
And that's just a sign that, you know, maybe there's quality lacking in the midfield at Man City.
Sure.
All right, here's the quote. Here they gave me a second chance, and we will try to do it. In my situation at a big club, I'm sacked. I'm out.
Ooh, sure. He did not say
that. He did, definitely.
Can you read that one more time?
In my situation at a big club, I'm sacked.
Oh, that
I'm
felt
out
good.
For sure. Definitely. At the clubs I've worked at before, I am not here for the following season. But here we have a second chance and we'll try to do it better than this season.
Oh, that felt good.
It does.
It felt good to hear that. I mean, as a City fan, I'd be fuming.
I only know one City fan. He's a bit of a knob.
That one dude.
I mean, I think you know who I'm talking about.
One dude.
I know one who's very nice.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Not the one I know.
But it's good. We're bouncing out now. You don't know what we're talking about.
There you go.
They kind of even themselves out. Cancel each other out.
Let's move on. A few quick notes on other games because we have spoken about the Premier League for eons now. Hull finally relegated, put out their misery by losing to Palace 4-0. That means... let's talk about Hull really quickly. Marco Silva did a great job, I think, with whatever he has.
Absolutely.
Snodgrass got the hell out of there. Very smart of him.
Yes.
What else? Swansea finally just kind of... I don't know.
They won a couple games with the Llorente headers and Kyle Norton scored a goal.
I think
Swansea did it much to our happiness.
His last eight goals have been headers.
He has more headers than anyone else in the league. Sorry, quickly two things. Back to Hull for a second. They conceded 13 penalties this season.
Hull?
Yeah.
Wow.
What?
13.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
That's a lot. On the Swansea game, they beat Sunderland 2-0. Llorente scored, Kyle Norton scored, and of that, Clement said, a lot of those go in our car park at the training ground. That goal was a great moment.
Kyle Norton, I think, hasn't scored in like 3 years or something.
Has he ever scored?
Since he followed us on Twitter.
Yeah,
famously.
Famously.
It's the best thing he's ever done,
to be fair. I mean, he doesn't follow his markers that close.
Oh, quickly, Big Sam's got a very, very nice watch.
Oh, did you see it shaking?
Yeah, I did.
Just like his chin.
Look.
Oh man, everything was shaking.
Big Sam can get all the abuse in the world, and I'm all for it. But his record, he has never gotten relegated. I mean, he's got Bolton, Sunderland, these guys, Palace. Like, he's got some...
He's brilliant.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, at what he does.
I mean, to be fair, we looked at Palace's schedule before, like, 3 weeks ago, and it was Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal. And it was like, they are definitely going down. There is no way.
Big Sam has done well to get back in coaching in the Premier League after his scandalous time
just
with
in
England.
Contention. Really,
yeah.
For anything in life.
I mean, the most scandalous part of that whole thing to me was that he was drinking a pint of wine.
That's brilliant.
It was unbelievable.
Anything else?
How do
very
you
quickly,
do that?
With great difficulty, if you're a normal human being. Sunderland, Moyes, always good for a quote. Jermaine Defoe has a thing in his contract saying if they get relegated, he can leave on a free. Moyes is a bit perturbed by this, and he said, well, you know, I'd never have allowed that. It's like, well, you wouldn't have signed him in the first place because he didn't play for your Everton team.
You know, golden boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that pretty much sums it up. Everton beat Watford, whatever, okay.
Who cares?
And Southampton are just, you know, mid-table, happy, nothing to play for.
Quick vote. Who says more daft things? David Moyes or Arsene Wenger?
Ooh. Moyes. This season, Moyes.
Moyes... Yeah, it's because you expect more. I feel like I expect more of Arsene Wenger, so it hits me harder.
Sure.
Anyways, let's move on to our Momo of the Week.
Yes.
Happy Momo. One thing we are no sha, Momo not fit sleep forever. One day, Momo go wake up.
Momo of the Week is brought to you by Football Heads. That's F-U-T-B-O-L, heads with a Z.com. They're an apparel brand bringing you the freshest snapbacks, beanies, and t-shirts to wear with customized football club-oriented designs. And you are our listener, and so you get 15% off. Just type in UTC at the checkout. Right. Moomoo of the Week is... Well, what is it? Moomoo means fool in Nigerian Pidgin English. And so we're going to bring you, you know, this week's latest fools off the pitch from the world of football.
And we're going to start this week with Mikel Antonio of West Ham United.
Me signing this contract now, signing my prime years away, is just showing that I believe West Ham can get in the Champions League spots. I believe that we can push on and we can be involved in the top four.
I'll have to ask my accountant about that.
The key there was his prime years. He said, I've signed my prime years away.
That's Mohamed laughing.
Yes.
That's really funny. The clip keeps showing West Ham in like 12th spot, like so many points away from the top four. They lost to that team in the Europa League.
Astro Glide.
What? More importantly, who sold him that notion of West Ham making the Champions
himself.
League?
David sold and Gullivan.
Yeah.
Gullible.
Yeah. Way.
The thing is, I'm really sad about this because he's a good player and like he could play for a number of better teams and now he won't.
Yeah, but he's getting the money, so.
Sure.
My Moomoo this week is comes from FIFA, which they never disappoint. So FIFA had this conference and they wanted to test out this voting system. You know when every delegate has a clicker, and you click, and they went, you know what? We're going to try with an easy tester to make sure everyone's clicker works. And the simple question on the board was, are Germany the current men's world champions in the World Cup? And 12 of the 160, whatever, 7 delegates said no.
Who did they say was?
That doesn't matter. That's 7%.
It was just a yes, no?
Yes. Yes, no. 7% of the FIFA delegates across the world did not know that Germany were the world champions.
They could have just been messing with the
mongrels.
You think? I hope so.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's a lot. 12 people decided to play a prank in an official, like, FIFA.
Well, you know how they collude with each other.
Yeah, true. Somebody paid them to say no.
Maybe.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, that's good. Right, last one this week. Ezequiel Lavezzi, who, the last time he was in Moomoo of the Week, it was for tweaking the nipple of a child mascot and then laughing about it.
Wow. He cannot beat that.
He's bettered it.
Okay.
He has bettered it.
Wow.
So he and his teammates were asked to make some funny faces for a photo shoot for the club, Hebe CF. And
Hebe Fortune Cookie.
Okay.
Cookie Fortune.
Whatever.
Okay.
Or football club.
Or that. And guess what face he made? I just guess.
I don't know, he's cross-eyed or something?
Oh! No!
Yeah.
No!
Slant-eyed?
Yeah.
With his hands?
Yeah. Used his hands, pulled his eyes back. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, Alex. that cannot be true. I don't care how many
times.
There's
a picture of it right here.
I don't care. Like, I still don't believe it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, listener, you can't see this, but there's a picture of it. I mean, just Google the story. It's quite sensational.
Did you know that he's the highest paid footballer in the world at £798,000 a week?
I did, because I read it in this article.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he did that.
Yeah.
And he scored 2 goals this season.
He said, I had no intention of insulting the Chinese people and did not do it with any bad intentions. Every Chinese person around me is friendly.
That's the whole, that's equivalent of, I have a black friend.
Yes, very much.
But, like, I'm sorry, like, how?
He's clearly just a complete moron.
Well, obviously these people didn't go to school.
Education doesn't play a part in this. Like, knowing math and science doesn't mean...
Yeah, but you have friends who are, like, with you in class, right?
He lives with... I mean, I get it if he was, like, somewhere else and he was racist against the Chinese because he's so far away, but he's, like, there. He's getting paid $1 million a week.
Clearly a mongrel.
Clearly.
One thing we are no sha, Mumu no fit live forever. One day, Mumu go wake up.
All right, Serie A time.
Mm.
A little bit of continental Europe.
Yep.
Let's start with, Juventus were supposed to clinch the title this weekend.
And last weekend.
And last weekend.
And last season.
And next season. To be fair, we make fun of the whole, like, Serie A is uncompetitive and Juve are definitely going to win.
Sure. Shea does.
It was Shea does. And it has some value, but so far, Roma, Roma beat Juve this game.
They crushed them.
Totti's last game at the
Stadio Olimpico.
Yeah.
Instantly sold out. 70,000 tickets.
Oh. Yeah.
Which is nice to see, because we were there last year and they were not sold out.
But it was still louder than a 60,000 Emirates.
Yeah. Imagine if they'd said every game this season. Yes. They'd made double the money.
Way more, yeah, for sure.
I just wish they were smarter.
I know.
So, Roma won 3-1 here. Juve actually took the lead.
Medina.
Very, very good goal.
Yeah, very good layoff from Higuain.
Unselfish.
Unselfish, very unselfish. Shared the cookies.
Wow.
For once.
And then Roma came roaring back. Sharawi with a goal. I think Nainggolan with a really nice goal.
De Rossi.
Yeah.
Yes.
With a quick equalizer. Sharawi's goal, a bit of fortune.
Sure, it came off the defender and, like, did a spin.
And it was on the ground the whole time. It was a carpet, but it spun in.
I was waiting for your carpet finish.
It was like a snooker trick shot or something.
It really was, yeah.
So now Juve are only 4 points ahead of Roma with 2 games in hand. So technically, Serie A is going to go down to the last week.
So, this is the crazy thing. Juve are 3 games without a win, which is,
blasphemy.
Huge for them. And they only needed a draw in this game. They could have... Allegri is clearly a brilliant, brilliant manager, but it's just a bit funny to me that they didn't just kind of make it boring, just get over the line. That said, they play Crotone next weekend. Now, on the face of it, easy win, right? And it should be, it's a home, like, it should be a problem. But Crotone are, like, on an absolutely possessed run of form.
Oh, yeah?
They're still in the relegation zone, only by a point, but they've taken something like 14 out of 17 points.
And we spoke about this.
These are the guys that won, like, every game under the sun, but are still in the relegation zone. Right. Well, the thing is, it would be... I think I'd prefer to win the title in my stadium at home, so, saving it for the home game.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Also, they've not been playing full strength because, the Champions League final's coming up and stuff. He has been resting a lot of players.
Granted.
Just
wanted to touch on a couple of Roma items. Daniele De Rossi in an interview said, being a coach is the best job in football. It would be great to win as a coach after winning nothing at Roma as a player. Oh. I don't think he meant it like that, it's just a funny quote. So you know how last week we were discussing Spalletti coming under attack for not bringing Totti on?
Yes.
So he brought him on after 2 minutes of injury time. So if there is ever a middle finger to the critics.
Wow. And Totti.
Slightly.
Yeah.
But the thing is with Spalletti is, if he wins these last 2 matches, he sets a record points total for Roma. And people are still criticizing. I don't understand it.
Yeah. He's doing very well. Because Napoli, for the longest time, looked like they might even clinch that second spot. And now Roma are in the Champions League, something they haven't done in a long time.
It's almost like you're winning the electoral vote, but you're losing the popular vote with the Roma fans.
Yeah, because all they want to see is some 40-year-old. I get it, he's a legend, but it's...
Come on, we live the atmosphere, you get it.
I do, but what is your priority? Especially with Roma, like, they need the money. They need the Champions League money, anyway. But speaking of Napoli, they battered Torino 5-0.
Oh, they played some of the best football.
Such beautiful goals in this game.
Yes.
My goodness.
Callejon.
Dries Mertens is on fire.
This season he's been incredible. I mean, Mertens is one of those guys that I say, if Arsenal lose Sanchez, definitely straight in, go for it.
But you know what? I want to talk about Napoli a bit because I feel like they're super underrated and don't get a lot of attention. If you just think about their front three, you have Insigne,
Callejon,
and Mertens, who are on absolute fire. I think Mertens has tied Benassi for top goal scorer in Serie A this season.
Belotti.
Dzeko now went ahead, though.
Yeah. Also, they have Hamsic. That's a very, very deep team, top down.
It is. I mean,
Pepe Reina and goal.
Well, there's that. Yeah. No, but I, you're right. I mean, the talent that they have is fantastic. In terms of squad depth, Europe is always a bit tricky for them because beyond that first 11, they struggle somewhat.
Roma will be similar next season.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, they will not be able to field weekend side and still win games. That's the issue.
That is true.
Juve are really the only team in Serie A that can do that. Not even the Milans, nobody.
I think Szczesny was interviewed recently and he said like the main difference between Juve is that they have almost two teams that they can play. Like, speaking of Napoli, their opposition this week, Torino, this just resulted in one of my favorite things of the season, right? Here's a quote from Torino president Urbano Cairo.
Yes.
Hart made a few mistakes, especially when coming out for the ball. He's an important keeper. We probably didn't expect so many mistakes from an England international, but he did some things good too.
Wow,
he's so unhappy with Hart.
I mean, to be fair, even this game, he had like two mistakes.
He was terrible. Yeah. He was so bad.
Hart conceded five.
Didn't Napoli score like four in like 3 minutes?
I don't know.
It was like instant, literally
in
instant.
The second half.
73rd, 74th, 77th.
This is Torino's longest run without a clean sheet since 1950. 17 games.
Christ.
England's number one.
This is why English players did not leave.
This is why no one's talking about Rob Holding yet.
Give it a sec, mate. Give it a sec.
Loan him to Torino, then we'll see if he's any good.
Inter lost again on a horrendous run of form.
Oh, so
just
bad.
Just so bad. I mean, rumors are they want Pochettino to clear up the mess.
Good luck.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has a connection of some sort with Inter. What is it? Did he play there or something?
No, I think he has... I don't know.
Sorry to put you on the spot, but I just...
Something to do with his agent, allegedly.
Right, okay.
The thing is, though, that like Inter seem to be trying to get Spalletti, who might leave Roma, by appointing Walter Sabatini, who was like the director of football at Roma until this season, who got replaced by Monchi. I don't know. It's weird. Inter are trying to get everyone, because apparently they also want Conte, like... It's all over the place.
But they're desperate. They're desperate.
Oh, extremely. Yeah. But the funny thing about this game was the fans walked out at halftime, and there were a couple of good banners, one of which said, "Since you do not deserve our support, today we're just going to go and get something to eat."
Yeah, as well as like we're going for lunch at halftime.
Yeah.
Like, see you guys later.
And the other one said, "We're hanging a pitiful veil over the 2016-17 season."
Wow.
Good stuff.
I like that. That's frank and to the point.
And it's better than a plane.
You do not deserve
our
support.
I bet lunch was good too.
That hits deep though.
Honestly, when your team's not doing well, as a Manchester United fan, I have experienced this in the last four seasons, and boy, is it bad.
Yeah, the stream just goes off at halftime. Yeah.
It must affect your confidence as a human being. Imagine being like a West Brom or a Stoke fan. Yeah. You must feel pretty shit.
Yeah, I mean, anyways.
That's why you go and vote for Brexit, I guess.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You just need to take it out on someone, you know?
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit of La Liga.
Sure.
So, Real Madrid are inching closer to the title. Win against Sevilla 4-1.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of tiring points here. I mean, we discussed this to death on the private thread we have about Nacho's free kick.
Cheeky Nacho.
Didn't have a lot of dip on it.
No dip.
But at the end of the day, it counted. And that's all that matters.
Yeah, it's a bit of a sucker punch. Unfortunately, you'd like to see a more, how would you say, less of a sucker punch goal.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You don't want to, like, if you're watching like a fight, you don't want to see someone hit someone before the opening bell is gone.
Sure.
Which is exactly what happened.
While touching gloves. But we did talk about this point, and we did, I mean, I think we made it clear that it is allowed. It's not against the rules of the game, because what happens is the ref blows for the whistle, and until the ref blows again and says, okay, it's on the whistle, I'm going to put people 10 yards away, it's a free ball. The only reason we're upset is because it resulted in a goal. If that was in the middle of the park, someone put the ball down past it, everyone would be fine with it. It's just, we're not used to it.
I guess.
It's within the laws of the game.
It's one of those things, I mean, you clearly know, but I feel like generally it's one of those things that people don't really know what the rule is supposed to
be. Remember Messi versus Atletico Madrid, Courtois, same thing. put it in from the free kick. It happens. Henri did it.
Giggs versus Lille.
Yeah, Henri did it a few times.
Sure.
It happens. It happens. It's just not natural.
Not your center back. Yeah, it's a bit of a sucker punch.
It also feels a bit different when it's Real Madrid because it's like they get everything anyway.
Yeah. Ronaldo, though.
Great finish.
The left foot finish was unreal.
I'm sorry, but how do you get that power without any... what's it called? Follow through.
He's strong. He's very strong.
He is very strong. But the angle, like, it wasn't on.
The commentator made a very good point about, you know what? Keepers should never be beaten on their near side. But for this one, I can't blame him.
It was a perfect vector.
It was.
A vector?
What's a vector?
Like, it's something that has speed, like a magnitude and direction.
I thought it was a serial.
Mathematics.
Okay. It is also a serial.
I was thinking about physics when I saw that goal. That's how good it was.
Yeah.
It was
Ronaldo stunning. Scoring his 401 goal for Real Madrid in only like 390-something games.
Yeah.
It's his numbers for Madrid. I mean, people are starting to call him the greatest goal scorer of all time. And without getting into too much detail, no, I can see why you would say this goal scorer. Pure goal scorer, he's probably the best to ever do it.
Most people have a 401k, but Ronaldo's got 401 goals.
Yeah.
Nice.
And the goals are worth way more than whatever's in your 401k.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's for sure, dude. One goal.
I'll take one. I'll take that tapping.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ronaldo is an absolute beast. And he will add the La Liga title to his resume, and he might even win the Champions League. Another Ballon d'Or. I mean, people are making the joke about Messi ruining a 4-1 lead, a 4-1 Ballon d'Or lead, which is, you know, quite a good way to look at it. Ronaldo came roaring back.
That would be really haunting. But, I mean, over the last couple of weeks, ever since the Clasico, it's just been an absolute shootout between both these teams.
But they're Ronaldo's
gunning down everyone.
Ronaldo in the Champions League against Bayern, and then against... there was someone else, Atleti, and now this. Like, he's been really stepping it up at the end of the season.
As a number 9. Now all he's doing is just finishing.
Lethal. Do you think it's the... you know how he got highlights recently?
Like in his hair?
Yeah.
Because,
often you see people's haircuts do correlate with their form, like Bellerin.
Right.
You know, terrible hair, terrible form. Ronaldo.
Happens.
Nice little highlights.
Yeah.
More highlights.
Except when...
I'm going to get a haircut right now, Alex.
Except when Brazilian Ronaldo got that stupid triangle, he still scored goals.
That's true.
He's phenomenal.
In fact, that was the World Cup where that's all he did all season.
He scored like
and
eight.
And he got the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, he scored 8 goals in the World Cup.
It was a hair.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if you have no form to speak of, then it doesn't make any difference.
Sure. Barcelona beat Las Palmas 4-1. And Neymar hat-trick.
Oh, joyous goals.
Every one of these goals was absolutely...
Neymar passed the Suarez. The Suarez chip over the keeper.
Even the first goal, Busquets got out of traffic with that little back heel pass to Iniesta, who one time outside of the booted it to Suarez.
Yeah, but I can't believe that the fourth pass before the finish is the best part of this. You know what I mean? It's like Busquets and Iniesta was like the fourth pass before Neymar finally finished it. And I watched the highlights. I didn't know what to expect. I'm just looking at the highlights. I'm like, here we go.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe what I saw. I was like, what?
But that happened for every goal.
Yes.
That was the problem.
Neymar,
I was choking on my dinner as I was watching the highlights of this game. Because that goal happened, I was like, wow, shit.
Never watch Barcelona while you're eating.
I was like, yeah, Busquets. I made a mental note. I was like, whoa, I got to bring up that Busquets comment to the thread. And then the second I was thinking about that, Neymar does this little curling pass, and it goes to Suarez, who one time lobs it over the keeper. What?
That's the problem with highlights. It gives you no time to rest.
No, and then Neymar's beautiful deft touch for his third, just to caress it through the keeper. Like,
I could almost hear the screams. If I was watching that with people, they would be screaming.
Yeah, I mean,
AKA Bernie.
Yeah,
true.
But he probably I know I harp on the whole thing, but credit to Barca, 4 goals without a Messi assist or goal. So well-rounded performance.
I mean, they should beat Las Palmas with 10 men.
Hey, what are you saying about Kevin Prince Boateng?
I'm saying until they have Balotelli, we can't take them seriously.
Also, they played Marlon at center back.
Who?
I've never heard of him. Marlon.
Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando. Because Mascherano was on the bench for some reason. Piqué was injured. Is he?
Yeah.
And Piqué was injured. So the kid did well. I mean, he looked quite good. I saw it.
Piqué is in Shakira's latest video.
Yes.
Again.
Yes, he is.
Must be nice to do that on your free time.
All he needs, if he's not performing well in the video, they just need to kind of bring Ronaldo on set and he's going to start shaking. So
maybe. You know. It's just a quick question though, more nepotism, Trump or Shakira?
That's a good point to be fair.
I don't know how to answer that question.
She puts her family in all her videos.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
Wow. Anyway, good point actually.
Moving on to something serious. It looks like Ernesto Valverde will be the new Barcelona manager. Current Bilbao manager. What do you think?
I think they keep going for those hipster choices, and I don't know if it's going to work for them.
Which mainstream artist would you employ?
I mean, the problem is there's a lot of reasons why people can't go there, but like Allegri, he can.
Sure.
Forget it. I mean,
why Messi, not Allegri?
Messi player manager.
Yeah,
that,
sure.
That would be cutting to the chase, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Agreed. Anyways, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like it is slightly hipster. I get it. He's a good manager. It just...
Yeah, but he got Espanyol to the final of a UEFA Cup in 2006.
It's also crazy that he's going from Espanyol to Barcelona.
He's not. He's not. Bilbao.
When was...
No, no, but...
When
I mean,
was that?
He used to be related to them.
I was thinking about how far back 2006-07 was.
Yeah, 10 years ago.
Isn't that when Middlesbrough went to the final against Sevilla?
Europa
remember.
League? These are hard questions, man.
Yeah. Steve McLaren was on top of his game back then.
That's true.
That's how long ago it was.
Man.
Peak McLaren.
Peak.
Yeah, with that umbrella. Mm. No one 4-0. Held an umbrella like him. Anyways, okay, enough Steve McLaren. Let's talk about TFC a little bit.
Yes, a couple other things, though, first.
Okay.
Feyenoord won the Eredivisie.
Yes! Oh, Dirk
Kuyt. Good for them. Dirk
Kuyt, whatever you want to say.
Van Bronckhorst, nice little young manager, doing well.
Legendary.
Good stuff. Bayern 5, Leipzig 4, that was fun.
Yeah, Leipzig were 4-3 up with like half a minute to go.
4-2.
4-2?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And
I guess they were fortuitous.
Oi.
Wow.
I know, that was good. That was deep.
That was good.
Yeah,
that was
on a different level.
That was quite good.
That was excellent.
It was also shocking because that's outside of Mohamed's regular vocabulary.
My range. My capabilities. I stepped up.
I'm very impressed.
I like it. Finally, last thing from a quick European roundup. Monaco. I nearly said Morocco because my handwriting's terrible.
Okay.
Monaco.
They're
4.
They're very close.
Yes.
Yeah.
Monaco 4, Lille 0. Not surprising, but Monaco are basically a win away from securing.
Wait, I thought
they
did.
Won.
They
won.
They did.
Yeah.
Did they though?
Yeah, it's done, mate.
They're on 89 points, PSG on 86, and Monaco have a game in hand.
The goal difference maybe is horrendous or something. I don't know, but no.
Their goal difference
is
amazing.
Okay, so it's over. I mean, PSG are not going to win 17-0.
No.
No. Cavani, though, he got player of the season in Liga. 48 goals in 48 games. Unbelievable. His best season ever.
Yeah.
So he's doing very well.
He kicked
he's
on.
He's another one Chelsea could get instead of Costa.
You know what the parallels are? Cavani kicked on this season after blowing a bunch of chances against Arsenal.
Yes.
Just like Chelsea kicked on after getting thumped by Arsenal.
I mean, I'm glad that we're useful for something.
Yeah.
TFC?
Catalyst for change. Toronto FC 3, Minnesota United 2. I was at the game. Did it, either of you watch?
Yes, I did. And I also watched the highlights like 3 times because it's a phenomenal game.
Well...
I'm jealous of your time in the stadium.
It wasn't a phenomenal game.
The stadium was alight, Alex.
I thought we were going to talk about the previous game where they came back from 1-0 down to 2-1. We didn't talk about
that. Oh,
sure.
Tell me.
I'm just saying. I thought that's where we'd start. Chronologically.
So TFC are on a 6-game win streak ever since their 4 draws and 1 loss and 1 win start. They've now gone on a 6-game win streak, which is a franchise record. And they're like way on top of the table on the Eastern Conference. Number one, sitting pretty.
Beat the Timbers 1-2.
Seattle. And then Columbus.
Right.
So I think they've had something like 6 games in 20 days, which is absolutely mental.
A lot of them were road games as well.
Yes. Yeah. So they've been traveling cross-continent, cross-country, and they've kept finding ways to win.
Can you imagine how much gas they need to like lug Altidore around?
Oh, I mean, environmentally, he's a disaster.
Yeah.
But you have to have him on the field because is just something else.
Right before he gets on the bus, you got to tweak those suspensions.
Oh.
Just a little bit.
Just
a bit. Let some air out the tires.
Yeah.
He's not even fat. He's just a big
guy.
He's
just huge.
Yeah.
But he's been so good.
He's been TFC's, I'd say, best player.
Yeah.
Yeah, up there.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he is.
And Tosin Ricketts has also come up with some very key goals.
He's got 3 goals in 2 games, which is...
A lot for him.
And they're all game-winning goals.
Yeah, crucial moments. And it's vital, too, because Giovinco is out for 3 weeks. He got injured during this game against Minnesota. So did Haglund as well, who was actually playing really well. But, sorry, Manage, you're shaking your head at me.
Oh, no, nothing.
What?
Yeah, nothing. It's just, you know, OCD stuff.
Okay.
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this game then.
He's probably spotted a crumb or something.
Yeah. TFC did beat Minnesota United 3-2. Alex, tell us about like your experience in the stadium.
Atmosphere was okay.
Yeah.
It was hard to get too excited. The stadium wasn't full. It was, I think, 26,000 were there. It was a 3 p.m. kickoff on a Saturday. No one was really hammered yet. Well, probably one or two people, but not enough. Interestingly, you can only bring drinks in up to 65 minutes. You can't...
Right,
I think
so on your way out...
You can't chuck stuff onto the field at the end or something.
Yeah.
I think it's also on your way out, you're not like completely hammered.
Yeah, maybe.
Like you've got half an hour to like cool down.
Anyway, that was just
That's quite possible, actually. Yeah.
I think that rule was more useful when TFC used to lose every game.
Probably.
Now you're probably going to be okay because they're actually winning and exciting to watch.
The fans are rowdy. If you've seen the baseball playoffs in recent seasons,
true.
Fans chucking their beers onto the field.
True.
Yeah, but the baseball field is huge. You can still chuck it and they can still play on. It's all good.
Man, I saw an amazing stat about Vancouver the other day. It was like 6 out of the 12 riots that Vancouver has ever experienced have been about sports games.
They don't have a lot of issues.
No.
Yeah.
What are the other 6?
Well, I don't know.
Probably like property tax,
yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah,
maybe. Anyways.
Like that. Yeah.
But in terms of the actual game, it was...
Yes, please.
The highlights were good, but the game itself was not very... TFC understandably looked quite tired.
Is Alex complaining about 5 games live? 5 goals live? Actually,
I am a bit. I'll tell you what. Like,
yes, Alex, please.
They weren't playing well. They weren't creating anything. The only player who was really threatening was Raheem Edwards, and he was brilliant again.
He's
starting to become a favorite of mine.
He has to be on the team.
Yeah.
He does exactly what he should do. That's it.
Yeah,
he just goes up
basics,
and down the field.
Yeah.
And that's all he does. He just goes up and down the field.
And crosses the ball.
Yes.
But his dribbling is actually very good, and it was his dribbling that won the penalty. He got cleaned out. I mean, Roche, you saw the challenge. It was hilarious.
It was funny because it was the number 9 striker who actually brought him down.
Maybe he shouldn't have tracked back.
Yeah.
But it was the clearest penalty. Jovinko stuck it down the middle, which I hate, but you know, it worked. And then TFC actually let Minnesota back in the game. So it went 1-0, 1-1, 2-1, 2-2. And the game, well... Bradley was horrendous. I don't like being negative on a win, and TFC are doing very well.
I hate when you're negative.
But Michael Bradley was truly terrible.
You know, I have to agree about Michael Bradley because there's so much more that I expect from him with his experience.
It's the expectation that kills him, right?
No, but if you watch him play, he's just, when he gets the ball, he immediately starts going back into the second gear and then passing it to one of his central defenders. And then he just hits the long ball.
You want more from him. You want him to affect the game a bit more. But he had his good games. Last game, he was great.
I don't disagree. He has his moments. But it's just, within 21 seconds, I was timing it. Within 21 seconds, he'd given the ball away twice. At the start of the game. So, like, I understand he's probably tired. He doesn't get rotated much when the rest of the team does. But
he doesn't do much rotation himself.
I'm not sure he can.
So why is he tired, exactly?
Good point.
But it was... you kind of assume that his leadership ability and that kind of thing is what's keeping him there, because performance-wise, it's not happening.
Some exciting news about Canadian football. Alex, you want to tell us?
Canadian Premier League.
Yeah.
We're getting our own league. This is exciting news. Basically...
Is there going to be a relegation?
Don't know.
Okay.
Don't think so.
Okay.
The thing is, they'll be lucky if they get 10, 12 teams together. So
you
start relegating them, you're in trouble.
We've cancelled the Canadian Premier League.
Yeah. The university team's coming up.
Yeah. You're good. Why not?
So they announced teams in Winnipeg and Halifax, I think.
Mm.
And they've got another about 10 teams, 8 to 10 teams that they will announce over the next while. It's supposed to start in 2018. And the point of this is that Canadian players who aren't getting a chance in MLS... will finally have the platform to develop.
I have a question. This is a genuine question. I just thought of it right now. Is that Canada's huge.
Mm.
And these clubs are not, super rich. The clubs that are going to start playing in the Canadian Premier League. Can they afford all this long distance travel? Like, it's a lot to take 22 people across the country, a few times a season. It's taxing.
I'm sure there's some sort of deal with Air Canada or
possibly
Air Canada
point.
Jazz.
To be fair, that is a good point.
Yeah,
Air Canada Rouge.
Yeah.
Air Canada Jazz sounds better though.
Just on the plane, I'm pretty sure it wasn't Jazz.
I could have sworn there's an Air Canada Jazz.
It's Rouge. It means red. Anyways. It's just a genuine point. It is expensive to go across the country.
Agreed. Although, the same could have been said in the start of MLS in 1996. US is huge too.
They're going to be like Dennis Bergkamp, not flying and just bussing all over.
They'd be lucky to be half as good as Dennis Bergkamp, and that's the whole team.
As soon as you'd finish one game, you'd have to immediately go to the next one.
Yeah.
That would be a hell of a bus. They have showers, locker rooms.
Tell us about a little possible little exclusive in a few weeks.
So we've got in touch with Paul Byrne, who has agreed to come onto the podcast. He was the first employee of the Canadian Premier League. He's involved from the start setting up, and he's agreed to come on. So we'll have a chat with him in the next few weeks about Canadian Premier League.
I'm very excited.
Very exciting.
Yeah, good job on getting us that.
Thanks.
All right. I think that wraps it up pretty well. I think Roche's done.
Yeah, he's lost it.
It's been an hour and 10 minutes, dude.
Yeah, it's a good 70-minute cameo. It's time for a sub.
Cameo?
This is just him warming up.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Watch out for his follow-up tomorrow.
We'll see you next week.
Thank you for downloading the Koshcast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.